Good morning. What's going on, Chicago? What's up, Cook County, Illinois, America? Those listening around the world, you've tuned in to yet another live broadcast of the hottest political program on this side of heaven. It's Sunday Mornings with Brandon Johnson. I'm your host. Good morning, you all. It's time to go to church. Good morning. Tara Stamps hanging out with us this fine Sunday morning. How you feeling today, sister?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm good and getting better.
I see there.
So, no complaints.
You know, for those of you who tune in every single week, we appreciate you all hanging out with us. Those of you who are on social media, do us a big favor right now. You can like the broadcast. You can share it. So those around your particular network can get a chance to engage. Candace Castillo, who is our faithful co-host.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Candace. Candace is celebrating her birthday. A lot of birthdays going on. And so, you know, we're not going to miss a beat, though. Tara Stamps in the house. The other faithful co-host.
Holding it down.
You know, I've been trying to, like, pull Tara Stamps in more and more. Y'all familiar with her.
Thank you so much.
She needs to be here every Sunday. Maybe we'll make that the poll question, Dylan. Should Tara Stamps
be here every Sunday?
But it has been an incredible week, as it has been an incredible year, the last couple of years, as we are continuously facing so many of the challenges that generations before us have had to confront and win those particular battles, or however you want to constitute a win for that particular time period. And here we are faced with, again, the challenges that this country has always been afraid to really confront. But thank God for people who tune in to this show and those who are committed to economic, racial, and social justice. That commitment is real. It's still very much alive, and our work has to continue to be advanced. You know, and Tara, I was thinking about so many different things this week. I'll pose a question here in a second. We'll get into a discussion on a variety of issues. But specifically around this issue about how divided it seemingly our country is. And maybe it's always been that way.
It has always been that way.
Well,
yeah.
Mm. But you know, it's something, because I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm going to give you my real quick sermonette for this morning.
I try not to
get too preachy.
You're going to hit us with a sermonette.
Just, you know. I got a little bit of sanctification in me.
Appreciate you. Just will not be sequestered. Not, I mean, you cannot suppress the preacher in you.
The Bible says, as Apostle Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you, my brother. But there's nothing new under the sun, right? I mean, that's really what I'm getting at. And I think that there are seasons of reflection where we feel so unique that somehow, like, our challenges are unique to society. We all do it individually. We do it within the groups that we, you know, identify as.
Yeah, do it as a generation.
But to your point, this ain't new.
This ain't new. It's really interesting when you talk to young people, right? And I love them. Like, everybody know I love, love, love young people.
I'm going to pull your mic closer.
I love young people.
Yeah, I feel better.
But when you listen to them and you get them involved, or even if you go to be involved in any of their struggles, the way they position themselves is like, this is so new and this is our fight. And I'm like, no, baby, this is protracted struggle. This is the same fight, and you're just kind of inheriting this season of it, right? You're just, this is your inning of a much, much longer fight. And so, no, there is nothing new under the sun. And what I wish for our people and those of us who love justice is that we can figure out new strategies and new tools to use in this very same fight, because we're not getting as much traction as we need. We're not getting as many wins as we need in these new innings of fights, of the same fight, if I should.
Yeah, I like that sports analogy there.
You know, I ain't no sports person.
And I think that's the
point. I'm no Stacey Davis Gates when it comes to that.
What's up? Good morning, Stacey Davis Gates, the vice president of Chicago Teachers Union and the vice president of the Illinois Federation of Teachers,
which we should
get to our sponsors. But the fact that you use inning, I think it's actually quite ironic, because I do know that you're not a big sports person. But I think you're right that it's whether it's your inning, whether it's your shot, it's your turn. The truth of the matter is, I believe, is that, you know, every iteration of this society is going to be faced with the same, you know, type of struggles that this country has been battling for decades and for generations. And that's intentional, of course. It doesn't mean that we don't, you know, remain diligent in our good fight and our struggle for justice. But the truth of the matter is, we're not as unique as we believe we are. Mm-hmm. I saw this play out, too, Tara, during a time in which I believe our city was at a crossroad. And when Laquan McDonald was murdered by Jason Van Dyke, I remember being in a room with Reverend Jackson. We'll put a pin there for a second, because I want to just lift up the fact that Reverend Jackson, as well as Mrs. Jackson, are both moving closer to recovery.
So yes, we're very grateful. God. They are out of quarantine.
That's right.
And been released from the hospital.
And encouraging people to get vaccinated. You know, look, everybody in my home, of course, who's eligible to be vaccinated, we are still continuing to make smart decisions, keeping your distance, wearing a mask. And again, those of you who are vaccinated, encourage other people to do it. I know there are folks
as
who
have, best you can, because I did not realize how difficult an ask that is for a lot of the people who are adamantly anti-vaxxers. A lot of young African-American folks, you know, in my family who are anti-vaxxers. And I don't know. I guess it's being a mother, and when your kids always kind of like follow what you say. It was a difficult thing when I had children. I was like, no, I'm not. And they were adamant about it and really committed to their position. And I think the only thing I was left with, because I did not have any more tools, right, was what a guy friend said to his cousin, which was, and if you get my mother sick, or if you're responsible for my, what will you be able to say to me or to anyone if you know that you are knowingly anti-vax? And I know that black folks, as much as anybody, got enough reason to be skeptical. I do. I get all of that. But what we have encountered is a pandemic. So this isn't just happening to us. This happened to the entire planet. And I just want us to kind of like broaden our scope and what we believe and know to be true when we're having that conversation, because it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary, the number of people who are not vaccinated. And we're not even going to get into the number of eligible people who are vaccinated, like the ones who went back to school. We talked about reopening schools and the scores of young people who are not vaccinated, who are now in school buildings. It's kind of a separate issue, but that's it.
Yeah. 773-763-9278. The voice you were just listening to is Tara Stamps, co-host today. My name is Brandon Johnson. It is Sunday mornings, WCPT 820 AM, where the facts do matter. We are the largest progressive talk radio station in all of the world. And, you know, to that point, you know, about people who have decided not to get vaccinated for whatever reason. And there are some folks that have, you know, reasons that are not just simply they're just anti, that there are other, you know, elements that impact that decision. But, you know, at the time in which we experience, I think, a really crossroad here in Chicago, Laquan McDonald is murdered, and being in a room with Reverend Jackson and those who we refer to as millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Tara, I believe, you know, us Gen Xers, I think we're in a real unique position.
I personally like to call myself like a middle schooler in life. I forget all the titles and the letters. I like, have we run out of alphabet yet? So yeah. I am comfortably a middle schooler.
Which is
life.
Funny because that's the grade that we taught together. So for those of you who are, you know, brand new to this experience, and please, the phone lines are available to you, because we do have a big poll question that we're putting out there. A lot of things to discuss today. And happy to do it with my sister and mentor, Tara Stamps. I first started teaching 15 years ago. I can't believe it. 15 years ago. Can't believe that, which means my son is almost 14, because he literally was in the classroom held by all of the educators who surrounded
Absolutely.
Me. And Tara, at that time, I know we're getting off on a tangent here a little bit, but this show has a proclivity to do that. Mm-hmm. I believe I was the only first year teacher in that building.
That's absolutely correct. And you were a black man, and I think the only black male teacher in the building at
that, cause
at
I
the
think
time.
Mr. was out.
Mr. was out.
Mr. Jordan.
Oh, yeah, we had the
music teacher. What's up, Mr.
Jordan?
Who's retired and happy.
Jealous.
Not yet, right?
Just jealous.
2036, I think.
Listen, I did have a conversation.
No, 2032, I think I can retire.
Well, I had a conversation with the pension board. I'm just saying, got a little longer than I thought. I'm just gonna say, you know, God willing and the creek don't rise, and you know, sister's able to survive that and get a good pension. Yeah. I'm just gonna be eternally grateful, because then I'll have these three amazing young people that I've raised. That, you know, they won't send me off into an old folks home and just forget about me.
Well, we
so,
won't.
Thank you.
But this middle school space or X space that we're in, we play a unique role in bringing groups together. And, and I think that was the part that was frustrating. But yeah, at the same time, it was a very, I think, unique moment for millennials to be in a room with Reverend Jackson and recognize both sides, essentially. Like Reverend Jackson can recognize, to your point, there are new ways in which we can approach this stuff. And we can find those creative new ways. But yet at the same time, you know, we can't act as if this stuff just showed up, right? And so that's the big question that I do have for you all today. I believe Dylan has already posted, do you believe that we are essentially more divided now than we've ever been before? Particularly before the pandemic, there was an interesting study, Tara, that was done over the summer. I haven't talked about it. I thought today would be more appropriate. People in advanced economies say that their society is more divided than before the pandemic. And I think it's interesting that they call these societies advanced. That's a whole other term that we probably, you know, probably shouldn't necessarily be subscribing to. But
no, you're going to have to unpack that term too.
We really should. But as the coronavirus outbreak enters essentially into its second year, and it's been disruptive, of course, all over the globe. Most people believe that their society is now more divided than before the pandemic, according to a new Pew Research Center survey. And the interesting things that we'll be able to discuss there. And so with that, though, Tara, what I would like to discuss as part of our overall frame is that there are some real fights that are happening. Whether you believe we're more divided or not, there are some real fights that are happening. I just wonder, is anybody else tracking that there is a work slowdown right now? I ain't saying that there's a national or international work stoppage, but there is a work slowdown. There are less folks that are willing to clock into spaces where they're not being respected or being paid well. We have Nabisco workers. If you all remember a few years ago, Nabisco moved its headquarters overseas to Mexico, you know, as a way to drive costs down. But there is a strike right now with Nabisco workers that spans about four or five states, you know, so we want to talk a little bit about that as well. Of course, there are these restrictive laws that are being passed all over the country, but particularly in red states. And so this, the one that's getting the most attention, of course, is the Texas legislature, which is making it harder not only to vote, but the reproductive rights for women and the impact that has on poor people in particular. And then, of course, we also have just the constant struggle for reopening of our schools. And so there are a variety of issues that we can cover around division. Maybe the ones that I mentioned you want to highlight. If you believe that our country is more divided post-pandemic or in the midst of pandemic, I shouldn't say post, or if we're more divided than before the pandemic might be a better way to frame it, call in 773-763-9278. And we're going to talk about it in the frame of work, voting rights or reproductive rights, as well as the reopening of schools. Tara, my kids went back to school for the first time in they went back to the school building for the first time in 18 months. And my fourth grader is already in quarantine.
See, to the point.
We got to take a break.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to make that point.
We'll be right back.
And before we do, though, we didn't celebrate Michael Jackson's birthday last week, and I'm embarrassed that we didn't do that. So but you don't really need Michael Jackson's birthday to celebrate him, do you?
No, you don't.
So Tara is going to come back with her point. I'm going to come back with my favorite Michael Jackson song. But I want you all to share, like the broadcast. It's Sunday morning.
Is that old Michael Jackson or...
That's a good question. Do you want old Michael Jackson or new Michael Jackson?
You know, I just happen to be a fan of the old Mike, you know. So I just like that wide nose.
There's nothing
you know,
more prominent.
I'm like my brother Kendrick Lamar, you know what I'm saying? I like the authentic Mike.
The strongest black features possible is definitely one. Then that's our live studio audience. We got an online audience. I got to take a quick break. When we come back, though, you all, let's hit on this issue around division, around these particular issues or issues you want to expand upon. My name is Brandon Johnson. I get to host the show. Tara Stamps is live in studio, 773-763-9278. It's Sunday morning, y'all. Get up.
Get up.
This is WCPT 820, where facts matter.
Hey, Welcome back to Sunday Mornings. My name is Brandon Johnson. Some folks call me Cook County Commissioner.
The Commissioner.
And thank you to my folks on social media who are hanging out with us this fine Sunday morning. Don't forget to like and share the broadcast. I see you, Crystal. Lori's there. Of course, everybody know my sister, Evelyn. She hangs in there with me.
Because she's so good.
She's such a sweet sister. And I'm sorry I missed you all this weekend. My sister, Joy, turned 50. Which there's nowhere on her that's 50, by the way.
Well, that's because black don't cry.
They really don't. Like, they look good. So Evelyn was there, and I'm sorry we were just kind of getting back and getting settled, and we missed it. But it looked like they had a good time. My sisters were there, and they all looked like they were being socially responsible.
Praise black.
Kind
Jesus.
Of. Thank you. The black baby Jesus in particular.
That's right, baby Jesus.
Yeah. So before the break, we talked about, are we more divided? And I want to lift up this issue around Nabisco. We got Earl, got the West Side on the line, too. They want to weigh in, Tara. But you were about to make a point before we went to break.
I was, but you can't have 52 old, you know, year old women taking breaks.
He's like, what was I about to say again?
What exactly was we talking about when I was going to make that point?
Yeah,
but I think it had to do with reopening. As a matter of fact, I know that, first of all, shout out to Chicago Teachers Union, shout out Chicago Teachers Union Foundation for their support and programming. But even on Monday, there were already a small group of people who were quarantined when school started on Monday. But by the time we ended on Friday, there were 400 students quarantined in Chicago Public Schools, 80 staff members. By Friday, that's the first week. Within the first week of school.
And those are the people who reported.
And those are the people who reported. And that's also without a 3-day holiday break in between. So people this weekend have traveled. They've had cookouts. They've done a number of other things. And they may be being socially responsible. But what I want to say is we don't yet understand this virus. And we already we do know that it's already mutated to this Delta variant. Right. And so Chicago Public Schools, in my opinion, has been so utterly, painfully, woefully, criminally irresponsible with regard to the reopening plan, because there was no way with $2 billion to spend. You couldn't have made sure that each and every school building that is managed by Chicago Public Schools or that is a Chicago Public School building school had everything they needed in place to be as safe as they could possibly be. Period. And so my hat's off to all of the folks on the bargaining team who continue to try to go and move the needle for justice and safety and sanity in this space, because it's been really hard. But I charge the parents, and I want the parents to become more engaged on what's not happening in their school buildings with regard to the safety of their children. Like, why would you take out the health screener? You know what I'm saying? Why would you
do that? Or even remove back the metric that would determine when a school should shut down a school community.
Absolutely.
There's this rush to return to what folks have deemed as normalcy that is really problematic for folks who were struggling pre-pandemic. And I think it's important that we continue to lift this up, because the problems that many of our communities face, as we said at the top of the hour, they're not unique in terms of like historically, right? These always have been challenges. But what we have seen is that each generation have taken these challenges on and have found like opportunities to defeat the structural inequality or racist or white supremacy that unfortunately continues to permeate through the system of this
everything
country.
Yeah, it is the very blood in which this country pumps on. But I hate the term that we was this rush to return to normal, because really in that space and in the space of chaos, in the space of like the shift that happened in our planet, we sit and still sit with this wonderful opportunity to do better than what we left. And that's what I think is the most criminal. When you're afforded the opportunity to not just return, but to return better, and you regress completely. Like, to me, that is the most painful thing to watch in this whole unfolding, that there is inexcusable. You have the money, you have the resources, you just lack the civic compassion right?
That's where I got that term from, by the way, last week. Y'all was using that. That was Tara Stamps.
It's all good.
I didn't know work cited. Just started using it. That's how it was when we started teaching together. Just use Tara's lesson plan. She's been doing it. You haven't been doing it 12, 13 years. Why am I going to come in and reinvent the wheel?
Ain't no reason for that.
You know these babies.
So, yeah, guys, it's.
Yeah. Hey, let's go to line two. How about that? That's Renee. She's a CTU member, so we get to listen to her first, right? Hey, Renee, welcome to Sunday Mornings.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Brandon and Tara, our country has always been divided.
Absolutely.
Because the strategy of divide and conquer, it keeps the powerful in power as we fight it out amongst ourselves. Mm-hmm. They separate people by race, education, socioeconomic status, vaccinated versus unvaccinated people these days, telling the vaccinated people be mad at unvaccinated people because this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, even though they told the vaccinated people, go on out there, socialize, get close to other people, drink and be merry, take those masks off, and be asymptomatic, and then go back and spread that virus. Oh, they don't say that part. But we know from studies that that is what has been happening. Now, it's CPS and then the city and then the state, federal government, hospitals, they're saying that they're going to mandate people to get shots or lose their jobs.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Separate us from our jobs. I don't like it. Brandon, I love teaching, but I am still debating on whether or not I am going to retire because I haven't gotten the shot. I don't want the shot. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. There's a Novavax that this country has not given the support it needs. It's going to go to other countries. There's an article in The Atlantic saying of all the vaccines out that Novavax is better than Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. So why are they keeping that out of our reach? It's a more traditional vaccine. I would take that one. If I have to take something, I would take that one. But they're not giving me the choice. They're saying, if you're not vaccinated, fully vaccinated by October 15th, you're going to lose your job. And why? They don't care about the kids because the class limits in some schools, they have more students than you're supposed to have. But even with the max of 28 unvaccinated kids in a primary class, you know it's going to spread. I'm in fourth grade. Right now, I'm fortunate only 17 students are in my classroom. It is hard to try to keep 17 desks separated, 3 feet. Well, it says 3 feet when possible. And they know it's not possible if you have 20, 25, 28, 32 students in a classroom. They know it's not possible. So they know the virus is going to spread. Do they care? I don't think they care. And even if people like me go on and retire, if there won't be any shortages because we have tens of thousands of Afghan refugees, and these are people who are educated who are coming over who can fill the gaps with the Americans who are forced out of their jobs. My body, my choice, I thought, but I guess not.
Well, I appreciate the call, Renee, and I do thank you for the work that you've done over the years. You know, Tara and I first started organizing, I guess that was 10 years ago. Renee Criswell was one of the first educators that I met in North Lawndale, where schools are being shut down, and black teachers, of course, under attack, and we begin to like really push back. And that lawsuit, by the way, which we should have a conversation about, the city of Chicago still rejecting our demands to make good on what has already been declared by the judicial branch of government that there is a disparate impact on racist school policies on black educators in particular. But one of the things that Renee said that was interesting, and we'll get to Pam next, is that if you put these mandates in place, which, you know, I'll be very honest with you, I don't know any other way, Tara, that we can reach the type of vaccination space in order to really begin to mitigate the spread of this deadly virus and how to actually save people's lives. Now, if we want to be more particular about which particular vaccine one would take, I mean, I guess we can go down that route. But what's interesting, what Renee said was you put forth these mandates, whether it's a mask mandate or it's a vaccine mandate. but yet you are flexible when it comes to like how far apart people can get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know this might be splitting hairs a little bit, but I think her point is, like, how do you take a system that, of course, is ran by the mayor of Chicago, because all the whole city is ran by the mayor's office, period, right? But you're saying in this regard, you got to do this, but here's another measure that could actually help keep people safe. We're going to be flexible on that one. Now, I don't know if that's just, and I don't believe this is what Renee is doing, but that type of contradiction, I think, is something that you were alluding to, that this, we don't know enough about it, and it shows, because it's like, you can sit next to each other, y'all can go party, and you better go get a vaccine, otherwise we're going to shut you down. You get what I'm saying?
It's all contradictory. It's very contradictory. But what I find most maddening with regard to schools reopening is that the little bit that we do know, we're not implementing that. So there's this vast area where we just don't understand this virus. And so those of us who want to get the vaccination, cool. But that aside, there are still so many other layered mitigation practices that could have been implemented in schools across this city. Across the country.
Yeah.
That were not. And to add insult to injury, the federal government gave money to ensure that those things were done. And so I don't know about how you all grew up, but if my mama gave me some money, and said, I'm giving you this money. Make sure this, and this is done. By the time I get home, which is how stamps rolled, it was always a by the time I get home deadline, you surely better have it done. So when the federal government says, I'm giving you this money to make sure that you have layered mitigation in public schools so that when students and staff and faculty return, we can have some things in place, and you just totally disregard that, what is the consequence for that? What is the consequence when you knowingly and willingly put teachers, staff, faculty, and children who cannot get, who are not eligible for the vaccination? I mean, 100,000 students in CPS school systems are not eligible for the vaccination.
And I think that was an interesting thing that Renee was saying, that she's actually teaching a grade where those kids are not eligible. Like, you know, my oldest is a middle schooler. I do have a fourth grader, but she's in a classroom with individuals who are not eligible for the vaccine.
And there are 100,000 of them in CPS school.
Let's go to Pam. Pam's on the west side. We're impartial, but we do like the west side a lot, don't we?
No, we do.
Welcome to Sunday Mornings, Pam.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning to you both. I always appreciate the information. And Tyra Stamps, certainly for those who don't know, you come from a legacy of fierce fighters.
Thank you.
For black people.
Yep.
And that's your mother, Marion Stamps. And I just know that there are those who don't know, but they need to know. So you can fill in the blanks. But thank you.
Thank you so much for that.
You're more than welcome. I am concerned. First, let me just go back. We know that this pandemic was mishandled and lied to by Trump. He knew that it was transmitted through the air, and he lied about it. Didn't care if people died. And I said from the very beginning, Brandon and Tyra, I wasn't sure if we could course correct. And we knew that this would ravage, of course, what poor, working class, black people. I mean, just, you know, in general. We saw the food lines, right? We saw all the SUVs escalate in the food line. So I knew it was going to be hard to course correct. We are so divided. When you can't even agree that there is a virus, you know, people are calling it a hoax. People on their deathbed still believe it's a hoax. And I don't know for you all, here's what's really troubling to me. When you see the virus hospitalizing the children and people still don't want to do something differently, I don't know all the answers. But what I know is that Dr. Verhoeven, who was a guest on Santita Jackson, she said that all viruses do, and particularly this virus, it looks for a host. So now the hosts are our children. I never stopped doing what I did at first. I still socially distanced, always wore my mask. I decided to get the vaccination, as well as my family members. But if you're unvaccinated, the least you can do is wear a mask. And I'll leave you all with this. I'm disappointed with the moderate Democratic party stands on this, and that includes Biden and the rest of them, right? The progressives are right on this issue. They're right on the issue of education. You are sending our children into a death trap. I don't know the answer, guys. You all are the experts. But we know that these schools aren't safe for our children, but they're trying to tell us they are. Because, of course, we want our babies to be educated.
Of course.
But so many systems should have been put in place. And lastly, can I just say this? It is an insult to black people here in Chicago and black people in general that Rahm Emanuel was appointed or is to be appointed for the ambassador to Japan. We know that those positions are just rewards. What in the world has Rahm done to be rewarded? And thank God that Representative Ocasio-Cortez spoke out about it. I called my representative, Brandon, on this. I sent a message to Biden. It is wrong, and these are the many indignities that black people have to face. Rahm covered up the murder of Laquan McDonald. His policies devastated black community. And we have to go through this time and time again. So thank you, guys.
No, thank you. And the people who get rewarded for causing havoc and harm against, you know, communities of color and poor people, there is a system of reward when you cause terror. I mean, it just is. And I was disappointed to hear some of the black elected officials here in Chicago
support that.
Codify, you know, white supremacy. 773-763-9278. And thank you, Pam, for the call. And by the way, speaking of Santita Jackson, I will be filling in for her on Tuesday morning of the Santita Jackson Show. And I think her listenership probably just dwindled in half because I made that announcement too soon. Hey, Earl. Earl's on the South Side. We're not impartial, but just tell me you're not a Sox fan, though. You're not a Sox fan.
I'm High Park.
What's up, South Side?
That's still South Side.
That's still South Side.
That's deep South. That's the heart of the South Side.
I'm High Park. That's my handle is Earl from High Park. I'm just teasing.
What's going on, Earl? Welcome to Sunday Mornings.
All right. Thank you, Brandon. What I was going to say was basically what the first caller said. I was going to say we have a history of our divided society from slavery, Jim Crow, all the way up. And so there's always been a divided society. And only in the 60s did the country make a concerted effort to try to make poor people's lives better and black people's lives better. But those other forces that weren't in favor of it has risen because of money, power, and taking advantage of a political system that allows them to do it because they became really frantic when they saw the demographics change in America, and they had to figure out how to stay in power, and they were very desperate, taking all kind of chances now that we see to stay in power and keep poor black people, brown people down. The other thing I wanted to quickly respond to, because I don't know if you have any, how many other people you have online, is now I agree that mitigation should have been done and possibly done better. But we also have to understand that the pandemic affected production. People have been unable to buy quantities of various things. And I am not in a position to know whether the mayor has reached out to buy the necessary equipment, whether the necessary equipment was available, because remember, this pandemic affected the whole United States and other countries, and everybody was competing for the same diminished resources. Copper, for example, went up to 4 or 5 times its normal cost because of lack of production. That's just one example of you tried to buy lumber. You couldn't buy lumber cheaply because it skyrocketed. So we also got to temper our criticism of the school system until we know whether they did try to purchase these things that made us safe for school, and how many parts and pieces were available out there. That's all.
Yeah.
I could go on, but I'm, you know, I just...
No, it's,
you
know, it's a
last thing I'm going to quickly say is I can't figure out how one of your callers said that they don't trust the vaccine when hundreds and hundreds of millions, if not a billion or more people have been vaccinated. They have information. And she said she would try something that has not been proven and tested in nowhere near the amount of people that have been injected with this vaccine. And that's the problem. She's an educated woman, and I'm not trying to denigrate her, but that's part of the problem. She's willing to try something that has not been proven against something that has been, you know, injected into I don't know how many hundreds of millions of people around the world.
Hey, thanks for the call, Earl. I coming up on a break there. I got all three of your points. We'll try to address some of those when you come back, particularly how the economy has shifted. We don't have a whole lot of time. I do want to get to our callers. We'll do that after the break. But this question around, are we more divided now or do we feel more divided before the pandemic? I want to give you the percentage of how Americans feel, particularly around the division that exists within our society and our economy.
Did they say what that was based on? Like, were there questions in the survey that said this is why, that they based the division on?
Yeah, so you got to tune in on Tuesday morning for me to go a little bit deeper. Tita Jackson show. That's pretty jacked
okay,
up,
that's baby. Like a cliffhanger.
Exactly. 773.
A cliffhanger in radio.
763-9278. My name is Brandon Johnson. They still named the show after me. It's Tara Stamps. Just some questions on whether or not she should come every week.
Now it's questionable.
Just because
I raised the question.
I think we want her every week. I'm nervous that I won't have a show anymore. But the reason why we do have a show is because of you all. Thank you all for hanging out with social media. It is Sunday morning. It's the hottest political program this side of heaven. We're coming back for one more break, y'all. Welcome back to Sunday Mornings with Brandon Johnson, WCPT 820 AM. Thank you all for being there for us over this last couple of years. I can't believe it. And, of course, this sister who's been there for me since I've met, known her and her family, though I've known her sister Justice a little bit longer.
A couple of months.
But we have in studio with us is our dynamic co-host. What's up? And thank you, Pam, for actually lifting up Marion Stamps as well.
Thank you so much for that. Justice posted
the memorial, right,
of her passing. As a matter of fact, yesterday marked the 25th year where we actually buried her homegoing services, which were legendary. But my mom has now been gone, and my sister Gwanda did a ceremony on the 25th of August that kind of lifted my mother to ancestor status. It was pretty beautiful. But thank you for everyone out there who is always so, you know, complimentary about my mother and her struggle. And thank you.
And that struggle continues. That's what we've been talking about at the top of the hour. And I'm going to
continue.
And I'll be continuing this conversation on Tuesday, filling in for Santita Jackson, and we're grateful that Mr. and Mrs. Jackson are on their way to recovery. But something that you said I think is actually key, and I want to go to Bill. Bill's been holding. He's from Lombard, but give him a second here. That the money that we have, you know, I think we'll address some of the things that Earl said, and then we'll go to Bill. But, you know, he talked about the price of lumber and the impact that COVID has had on the economy, and I get that. But the fact of the matter is, and I think this is what Earl is ultimately getting at, and this is the part that's actually pretty whack, that our economy is contingent upon forcing children back in buildings. So don't give me this bull crap then about, like, the importance of learning, the so-called learning gap and learning loss.
Learning loss.
Because you
that's
have $2 billion in Chicago right now to address these needs. And, yes, admittedly, I need a privacy fence, Tara. I've been in my home for 10 years, and I'm just getting older. I'm turning into Earl. Love you, Earl. I need my privacy fence.
There are some black men I know who have been waiting to become old black men since they were like 12.
That's me.
That's you. You're one of them.
I am.
I know your tribe.
I'm embracing the old black man in me.
Get off my grass.
Right. They don't teach y'all nothing in them schools. See, this is the problem with my show. It just gets ridiculously bad. But I went to go price for a privacy fence, and he's right. Lumber is up, and there's other costs that are up. But be honest, then. You want children back in school so that your economy can continue to move, and it's at the expense of people who have been harmed. And at the very least, spend the money.
Spend the money, then. And see, that was my thing. I could be wrong, but, like, at the height of COVID, when we were talking about reentry back in the spring, there was a school in on the East Coast, and the national president of AFT was there for this school. And one of the things what this school did that I appreciated, it was the principal, the superintendent, everybody else, they let you in the building. They literally opened the doors and said, this is the school. This is what we've done. This is what we put in place. And it was like, you know, ain't no spades player either, but, you know, all cards face up. So my thing is, if you have done the work and if you have spent the money, then tell parents that. Communicate with the public that this is everything that we've done. Lori has yet to do that, right? She has yet to do that. And so the things that we've asked and the things that we've demanded, which are basic protocols, basic safety things to put in place. Where can you go to any school in CPS and see that that work has been done? Just this week, I was reading on the Facebook page where it took the network chief walking into a building, not being able to walk between desks before the teacher was told, okay, we're going to apply to get another fourth grade teacher. And that kind of comment was just littered throughout the thread, right? All of these things where the network chiefs have been doing these walk-ins onto these different classrooms. And as a result of their presence, now they're going to get some action. What I'm saying is, why be reactionary? Why can't we be proactive? You knew the children were coming back.
They don't believe us, Tara. That's really what it comes down to. They don't believe us. Mm. And that's the part that's jacked up. So I'm going to say something, and I have to do this. I have to have a sermon.
A little sermonette.
And then I got to say something that's going to cause me to lose voters.
I'm building me a home. You can't have no good sermon without a little song, a prelude.
Before the sermon.
A little Jesus up in that little Jesus juice.
And see, this is why we need Tara here every. So we can put that poll question. Should Tara Stamps show up every single Sunday? Whether Candace has birthdays or not. We probably do. We're going into our third year, maybe.
Going into our third year.
So we'll have to talk about that. You know, but, you know, the question, though, is, are we pushing reopening simply because white moms became inconvenienced? and the reason why I'm posing that is because, look, this is not to say that there aren't challenges that I'm just going to say it directly. Black mothers have had issues with the school community since forever, right? I mean, we talked about
since there was a school community,
right? I mean, you talk about your mother and Dorothy Tillman. I mean, there were some incredible workers and organizers at the time that were
parent
pushing,
equalizers is what they were called,
who were fighting for good schools then and supporting the leadership of the CTU at that time, who was Jackie Vaughn. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were powerful black women in place then who saw how these schools were not properly investing in their children. And then when black parents begin to, like, raise the issue even more, it got little attention. But when white families became inconvenienced, I believe is when the country began to shift in a more dramatic way to get folks to get back into the school buildings. And here's the evidence of that. When schools reopened in Chicago, who went back? So you put all of these measures in place for families who don't even make up the majority of the school
district.
They
make up less than 10%, about
10%. Certainly not to suggest at all. I don't want anybody to twist my words because I will fight you.
And I'll take my earrings off
and
grab
Jesus
my Vaseline.
Love's name. on this issue that all families, of course, deserve the opportunity to be in a safe, healthy learning environment.
Period.
But what we're saying, though, is the fact that 75% and sometimes higher black and brown folks were like, nah, we ain't going. it speaks to the point that you just made. We need to see it. What's so hard about being more transparent? And that is on the mayor of Chicago.
Yeah.
That is something that she promised that she would do. And here we
have. Failed again.
Failed again.
This lady keep missing.
I mean, like, every time her turn's up to bat, it's
she
like.
She keeps striking out. Like, she can't get it right.
Strike out looking. I mean, you're not even striking out swinging. You just looking at it. You have an opportunity right now to do something bold and audacious.
And not.
And instead, like, you're having animus towards folks who are saying we got to address the issue of homelessness.
And double down on it. And double down. And it's only going to get worse. I don't think, I know for a fact, we have not seen the full ravages of what this pandemic, the impact this pandemic has had on our country, specifically in Black and brown communities. We have yet to see that. Why? Because they just recently lifted that moratorium on the rent freeze. So you lift that in Illinois right before the winter. And we know what winters are like in Chicago. And so I think we have yet to see. We have yet to see the full impact of the mental impact that this pandemic has had on our children. Yet you were comfortable opening schools without making sure that there was a nurse in every building and that there was a social worker in every building. When you talk about the trauma that these children are coming back to the classrooms with, that's what that $2 billion could have went toward, making sure that these buildings were properly staffed and that top to bottom layer mitigations were put in place top to bottom. They opened Lincoln Park back up, and Lincoln Park is on the north side, and they were still removing the asbestos in the building.
These conditions have been bad for a while. Has been on hold. Bill, you're positive. I know you are, Bill. What's going on? Welcome to Sunday Mornings.
I hope to be. Thank you. Well, thank you very much. I like listening. I enjoy it very much. Bear with me a second. I grew up with a time underneath people who were trained, who learned by the Bible. They went to school and they learned by the Bible. The country folks, many of them, I call myself country. My people came from the South. And there was a dependency. There was an interdependency. We depended on one another. We had a larger family. And we pulled each other up because we needed that person next to us. And what I see, it breaks my heart with our new technological society, whatever. So many things, as you said, the education system is money. The Department of Defense is money. Department of Health. And it's built up on lies. Well, you can't build, you know, you can't work the crop. You can't pick up the crop and everybody lying to each other. But there's so much mistruth, misinformation in our education system. Unfortunately, it can't be parents, but the old folks back then just take care of the young folks. The young folks take care of the old folks. There's also a division in age. The age, class, the division. Yes, we've always been divided. But it bothered me. Am I there?
Yeah, you're doing just fine, too, Bill. We appreciate it. Go ahead. You got 30 more seconds.
Oh, okay. But so much of our system is devoted on lies. You believe what you want to believe, and everyone supports. I went out for beers with the guys from work the other day. And I sat down, and two guys sat there and began talking about the plant manager, his wife, and his child. And they're just sitting there openly, and it was disgusting. And I felt shame, and I didn't say something because you kind of looked at me. That's a shame. You don't sit here and talk about them people, even if you got problems. The way you're talking, it's not cool. Hmm. It's a human. Not to mention anybody at the table go back to work and tell them what you said, and
right.
They wonder why they don't like you.
Right. Hey, Bill, I gotta cut you there. I think your point's there because we're actually almost out of time here, Tara. You know, but I think to Bill's point though is that, you know, you have like this, and maybe this is what he's getting at. It may or may not be what he's getting at, but folks are a little bit more emboldened now, especially those who have,
dare I say,
real dangerous
Karen.
Yeah, there you go, Becky's. I mean,
just the Karens.
Just the Karens.
And I mean, they have whole reels of Karens wiling out.
Why are you that comfortable, like, in my face,
all
being that divisive?
Over the place. Yeah. And I mean straight violent. And what's crazy about this country is that you can have the evidence on video, watch them curse black people out, spit on them, fall out, faint, claim a near-death experience. And when the police show up, it's still, what do we do to them?
Yeah.
So that kind of behavior emboldens them. Having an insurrection January 6th on the state capitol and everybody leaves alive. Had that been black people, they'd still be cleaning up the matter out the bushes.
and the restrictions that would have been placed in cities across America. You know, you're absolutely right. I mean,
it's their behavior that emboldens them. Because there's no consequence. You know, again, in your house where I was raised, if you did something against your whoever, my mother, you stole that dollar out of my purse. If you did not lose a finger, or at least, a, you know what I'm saying?
And we're not encouraging that on Sunday mornings,
by the way. And I ain't encouraging, you know, for you all to do that. But what I'm saying is consequences were swift and serious.
There was real accountability.
Anything that goes unchecked metastasizes. And so what happens in this country when other people see that kind of behavior and it's unchecked, it metastasizes because they know there's no consequence.
Thank you, Paul, hanging out in the back. Thank you, Dylan. I want to thank all of our callers. Donna Miller, my colleague, Cook County Commissioner.
Commissioner.
Donna Miller.
That's also the older sister of my classmate, Kim Black, just saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
She says that Tara Stamp should be here every week with Candace. No mention of me. I want to thank all of my sponsors, Chicago Federation of Labor, the Illinois Federation of Teachers, Cook County College Teachers Union, Chicago Teachers Union's Foundation, SEIU, HCII Healthcare, and of course, Friends of Brandon Johnson. Thank you all. Don't forget to tune in to Santita Jackson's show. Tuesday morning. I'll be filling in with her. We'll talk about Nabisco, the Voting Rights Act, Reproductive Rights Act, all of that on Tuesday. The Lord says the same. Sunday comes. It's out of heaven. We will be here. Do me a big favor. No matter how difficult it gets, remain faithful. Love you all. Peace.